Hey now, welcome to the Cardinals Standout in Your Career podcast presented by Alumni Relations. I am Nick Taylor, the Executive Director of Alumni Relations here at SVSU, and really excited today. Got a good friend, someone with a lot of knowledge in the area. We're going to welcome Steve Hensley, who's the Community and Economic Development Director for Saginaw Future here in our area. Welcome, Steve. Glad you're here.
Nick, thanks a lot. I appreciate the invitation. It's always good to be back on campus.
So today's topic, Steve is one of the people that if you've been around and you're at an event somewhere in the Great Lakes Bay region, you can expect Steve and his lovely wife, Ashley, to be out networking at events, connecting folks in the community. So today we really want to talk about networking and etiquette. What are some proper ways? So our audience are all SVSU alumni, ranges all different parts of their career. But one of the things that I've noticed, especially is for recent grads, that networking is kind of a big topic. They're they're either too aggressive or not aggressive enough, or there's a lot of questions. Let's start off. I want you just to define what networking etiquette is and why you think it's really important in a professional setting.
Yeah. I think for a lot of folks, and especially young professionals, when they think about networking, and oftentimes we think about it as pretty serious. We relate it to our profession, our career, our work. And so the way I would usually attack it, and my recommendation would be to others, sometimes it's just about getting out. It's about making meaningful relationships, meeting people. And I think the vague, often broad thought about networking would be, how's it going to maybe open that door for upward mobility for my individual career, or serve me and my connections, how my role in how I do my job? And I think that that's true, and networking can do all of that. But I think when you go at it from a meaningful way, creating genuine relationships, and you're authentic about it, and you're not necessarily going out there, what's in it for me, but how do I just meet some new folks, friends, whether that's professionally as well as socially, and how can I also provide something or give back? And I think when you look at it that way, it makes it a lot easier. I'm just sort of come down a little bit on a more just low-key way.
Sure.
And things happen. You meet people, and I think that it's proven well for me and the people I've met as well.
I appreciate that. And one of the questions I always get, especially from recent grads, people who are starting maybe a new profession, and that is, you know, I'm not a good cold caller. I'm not good in a room and just walking up to somebody and start talking. What are some approaches or practices that you see that might work for someone who's at a networking event and just being able to coming up and create that conversation without being intrusive?
Yeah, that's a great question. And some of my earlier roles and some of my volunteerism on some other committees and boards I've served on, that's one of the conversations we've had. I was involved in the Saginaw County Young Professionals Network, and being receptive to when we're at events, there's oftentimes people, maybe a first time, second time at an event of that nature. So if you see someone from that side, if you're that individual who can walk up and help introduce yourself and be forthcoming, probably will help that person calm. Because the worst case scenario, we're all a little nervous when we walk into those environments. And to your point, it might be a little overwhelming and you're sensitive to standing by yourself. So I think if we're on the other side of things and we can be that individual to help make that connection is a key piece. But back to your question, if you walk in and you're that individual, I think it's important to be confident. And that's the thing about networking. Over time, it will develop your confidence. But certainly, you know, people might be nervous going into an environment. I think that if individuals, in my experience, if you're able to go into a networking event that's a little more casual, say a business after hours, whether that's a chamber function or one of the young professionals networks, that you can it's not as high level. It's not maybe the luncheon.
Right.
You can just kind of come down a little bit for someone who might be able to walk up to the bar and maybe order a drink, and things will often materialize in an organic way and strike up a conversation with people. And it works out. And those are the scenarios that keep you coming back for more. And when that happens, usually over time, it's successful and you gain confidence in the process.
I'm going to ask you to check me on this. Okay.
Ready?
Because as you were saying that, the first thing that I work with a lot of young professionals here at the university in I hesitate to say true mentoring fashion, but in a mentoring fashion where I'm a little longer in the tooth, the gray hair is out there, right? So they know I've been around a while. And one of the questions that I get is how do I network with other folks around campus without being too, I use the word intrusive, usually they say too aggressive in that. And I always ask folks when we have this conversation, I say, okay, give me three people that you know that you think are great networkers. And they kind of think through and like, okay. I'm like, okay. And before I ask them, you know, well, how do they do it or anything, I ask them, what do you know about them? What have you found out? And they will pull out little tidbits. But when they say, oh, this person's a great networker, more often than not, the things that they know about them, they learned much later when they started. It was all about that person being interesting, and interesting comes from asking questions. And so I always remind folks, we have and some of our alum might have heard him speak. We have a speaker who comes to campus on the regular, Arel Moody, who talks to all of our freshmen about how to really be successful in college. Doing a little research into Arel, I found a TED talk that he did talking about how to be likable. And the first way to be likable is not to share everything. It's not walking up with a business card and saying, hi, I'm Nick Taylor. I'm amazing at podcasting and all. No, I'm amazing at all these things. It's to walk up and say, hey, Steve, what's your name? Nice to meet you. What do you do? Tell me about yourself. And if you are out there and you think about who are the best networkers, it's the people who are the most inquisitive. Would you agree with that? Back me up. Tell me I'm totally wrong.
I would completely agree, Nick. I think you hit the nail on the head because, as we know, people like to, not to sound silly, but people like to talk about themselves, and they Absolutely. Also like to be asked questions, and they will share information. What's your backstory? Are you from the area? Where did you go to college? So, I think that's a great way.
SVSU.
Exactly.
I'm gonna make sure we get more of those.
SVSU. Yeah.
I love it.
So it's twofold in that aspect. You're coming up in a genuine way. I use that term a lot, but it goes a long ways. And then, as you said, probably the thing you don't want to do is go in a real rigid way, flash a business card. Hi, I'm so and so. And, appear to make the in-person cold call, so to speak. You just gotta relax a little bit, walk up, introduce yourself, and ask someone, what's your story? Where are you from? And go from there.
The best first question, what's your name? How are you? Even if they have a name, I see your name. Can you pronounce it for me? Oh, it's so nice to meet you. It's those conversation starters. I think if more folks in networking, but also just in life in general, we're inquisitive, and we all acted like we were our own reporters, our own journalists. We'd have a lot more understanding. And like you said, people like to talk about themselves. The more questions I ask of you, the more you're going to feel good. And later on in that relationship, when there is that connection, I can help you in some way.
Exactly.
Because that's what this is about, is connecting. We'll have that. People will remember how you treat them, not necessarily what you will say.
Right.
And I think that's a good point. So let's talk about, you know, with that, on the other end, I've always heard that's important to have a good elevator pitch for yourself. And to me, that seems sometimes a little bit tough, but it goes against like that first networking. And I think the elevator pitch maybe comes after we've now established a relationship. What's a good elevator pitch look like? What do you think it's, what are the key components? What should I focus on to make sure that I've now made a good relationship? I want to make the sell. I want help in the way that I can.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at as well is not necessarily be scripted, feel like you've rehearsed that elevator pitch. But on the flip side, if someone says, hey, you introduce yourself. What do you do for a living, Nick? Or in a, just a casual way, be able to say, yeah, I work for SVCU. I'm Executive Director of Alumni Relations. And just like you always do, it's just a genuine conversation. And I think you, everyone, if you can just have your key points in your head, everyone, we know what we do. We know what the highlights are.
Yeah.
Just keep it a conversation. We'll go a long ways.
Nice. So we've had that conversation. Steve and Nick have met. I like that we're pretending that we don't know each other here. We go back a long way. So Steve and I have met. We've had a good, you know, we've talked about family. We've talked about what we do. Elevator pitch is good. We see mutual benefit in down the road. I'm thinking of opening up a new business, and I know Steve works for Saginaw Future and probably has a lot of resources for me. How do I maintain that relationship? What are some of the follow-up things, that actions that I need to take in order to maintain that good relationship?
Yeah, so when I've been in these situations where on either side, but if you've had that opportunity to mingle with someone, and oftentimes we'll hit it off with certain individuals, if you probably retain their business card, even at the very least, shoot an email over a couple few days later. Just say, hey, it was nice meeting you at such and such event. I enjoyed our conversation. Wanted to make sure you had my email as well, and just stay in touch. If there are certain items you conversed over, maybe it's about a golf league and you want to follow up and see if there's an opening and invite that person, that's a great opportunity to do so. And then there's also it's very nice to send just a nice note in the mail, old school, and goes a long ways depending on the scenario. So I think just keeping that open and letting someone know that you enjoyed their time and meeting them, and maybe you just know that based on the circles that you're likely to run into them again, you can make that note, hey, let's link up, look forward to seeing you next time. So
I have difficulty in follow-up, not necessarily, no difficulty taking those steps, but I have difficulty down the road. We've got over 55,000 alum, right? I meet people of all different ages, all different stages of their career, and it will come back up where I've had a great, meaningful conversation, done the follow-up, and then a year later, we're at a restaurant, and they're sitting at the table next to me. What type of advice could you give a professional in reapproaching, maybe I forgot their name, I don't know exactly what they do. How do I reestablish that relationship, knowing that there was no ill will in between? It's just, oh, I remember I met you somewhere. What's some advice you can give there?
Yeah, we've all been there, and sometimes it can be awkward because then I'm thinking to myself, does he remember me if I say something? And might clearly remember that's Nick Taylor that I spoke to at, that event almost a year ago. But hey, if we're sitting close to each other, or see, make eye contact, or even at the end of that dinner, I can maybe walk up and say, hey, Nick, right?
Yeah.
And introduce, be forward, say, Steve Hensley, I believe we met at the SVSU Alumni Awards last year. And you're probably going to go, oh, that's right.
Right.
And it's a good way to just recalibrate that relationship, and nice to see you, how you been, and go from there.
I've always found that people respect and definitely appreciate just genuine authenticity.
Right.
Hey, I'm sorry. I know that we have talked, and I remember having a good conversation and all positive things, but I can't remember your name or where we talked. And I think that's bringing that up and remembering, I think pointing out the good part of it, like, I remember you because of something good.
Yep.
People, it drops the guard down a little bit.
Yes.
People are not as offended. And if they are, let's be real about the relationship anyway. So was it really going to go far, right?
Yep.
But just being that authentic self and saying, hey, I really appreciate it. I know that we've had a conversation before, and I remember good things and being like, oh, that's somebody I should get to know. Who are you again? You know, people respond to that much more appreciatively, and it's created more goodwill than trying to like find a way around it and or hey you that kind of thing.
Yep.
That used to be my thing. I was in admissions for a long time, and I probably met with over, well, at one point I know it was over 2,500 different students who came to the institution who had a meeting with me personally. There's no way I'm going to remember all those students. And I used to be like, oh, it's good to see you, you know? And it's much more important to just be authentic.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. And I think it's important if you do have an idea who the individual mm-hmm. is, or maybe what they do for their career, or
yeah.
how they're connected to the community. Being aware that they might mm-hmm. come across a lot of people on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So then we necessarily should be sensitive to that.
Yep.
But again, you're correct on that. I mean, being authentic goes a long ways.
So on that theme of authenticity, one place where I always laugh, I think there's a lack of authenticity, is social networks, like platforms. Social media, I'm talking LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Facebook, those type areas, any social media out there. What are a few pointers or key good elements you could give an alum that says this is a good networking etiquette that you should have on something like LinkedIn?
Well, when I've been very conscious of this as an individual and my personal social media accounts, is I think being able maintaining, I mean, optimism. We live mm-hmm. in a world that's easy to become cynical or to get caught mm-hmm. up in, especially social media posts and sure. threads, and it could run the gamut of items mm-hmm. To become.
Thank you for not getting political.
Okay. Of course not. No,
that's my favorite. Sorry.
And it could be from as mundane to
sure.
large, and so whether you've attended a community event, a function. Mm-hmm. Somebody received an accolade or an award, and you want mm-hmm. to make a comment, congratulate them, and keeping that umbrella of optimism, goodwill,
yeah,
speaking highly of others and other organizations. I don't think most professionals would mm-hmm. Steer clear of, you know, speaking negatively and ill will about mm-hmm. individuals and organizations in that sense personally.
Sure.
So we wouldn't want to put that in writing. Why would we do that
right.
on social media?
It says a lot about somebody too.
Right.
You know, the oversharing. I think what's important is, you know, as a professional, I see myself as someone who represents my organization. I'm proud of my organization. Mm-hmm. I'm going to promote the things that are happening on social media, but also I'm remembering that I represent a larger group than just myself. And we tend to think of social media. We've gone through this could be a whole nother episode. Don't worry. I won't make you do it. But we tend to go through this whole kind of maturity through social media. And I always remind myself that on social media, people are putting their best foot forward, right? Mm-hmm. I look at LinkedIn as my online resume and a way to connect. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to keep that in mind. So I should keep it up to date.
Yes.
I should, like you said, part of my network, if I'm on there and I see that Steve has gotten a great new promotion or recently had a child, I should absolutely, by the way, congratulations. I should absolutely make good comments and let him know, you know, and also what it does on social media as part of that is it broadens that network so that someone who knows me and maybe doesn't know or remember Steve from somewhere, it paints a better picture for folks to kind of understand that network and where it's out there.
Yes.
I am a big believer that, you know, LinkedIn, we've seen I think it's like a 500% increase in LinkedIn since 2020. Thank you, pandemic. But I'm also a big believer that it's super helpful. We recently, the alumni relations professionals in the state of Michigan have organized into a statewide group that shares mm-hmm. ideas, and we've done it through LinkedIn, and it's a important tool, important aspect. How's what's your social media habits like for networking personally?
Well, I think over time, I've taken a little bit of a step back on some of the other social media platforms.
Come on
LinkedIn fairly often.
I know you're Snapchatting away like crazy.
Never even been on Snapchat.
Love it.
But the Facebook and the Instagrams, again, limiting some level of screen time, individual choice. But over time, going back several years, I learned that as I became more involved in the community, my friends and those followers on those networks began to develop into beyond just friends and family. And in that same aspect, there's a larger group of people that are following you, seeing your postings. So I think that it's really important to just be sensitive to how you conduct yourself on a social media platform. And remember, as you just said, we represent more than just ourselves. We represent our organizations, potentially other organizations that might be in a volunteer base that we're not even necessarily, you know, getting a paycheck from.
Sure.
But if we're involved and people know us based on maybe a nonprofit or a board or a place where we spend our time, you're representative of them. And I do want to say one other point to that. I've been conscious of this. It's, I could be on a Saturday, not working, so to speak, which again, reminding my younger professional self this, if we're in the grocery line, we're going through the Starbucks line, and we all have bad days, we all do. And if maybe an order was mistaken, could be easy to be frustrated. It's happened to all of us, but don't forget, you could be up there and you never know who's behind you, who's who's actually working the counter, who knows of you. And I think it's important that you conduct yourself in that professional manner.
It's just good life advice, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beyond the professional networking.
Exactly.
I heard recently on a separate podcast, I won't reference it here, talking about how we see celebrities treat waiters or someone who's serving them. And they were talking about how I always it sounds funny, but I always put me at that sentence. Well, I brought the water and delivered it to the table. I'm doing such a great job. And it was funny because it was like, well, why? That sounds really self-indulgent and kind of a little strange. And what it was reminding that person was like, I'm going to treat that person with the same respect that I would want to. And if I was having to do that task, what I was. And I think that goes back to networking as we go and we meet folks at chamber events or in our, you know, in our world, professional conferences are really a big part of it. And as we go through and meet those folks, those are people who are there for the same reasons. They're trying to better themselves. They're trying to do a great job in what they're doing, setting goals that are helping their organization. And if I can help them achieve that, that's probably going to be very beneficial for me.
Yep.
Speaking of goals. Okay. One of the questions that I get from, again, younger professionals who are just kind of starting out in whatever profession it might be. I thought this was a great question and I had no answer for it. So I'm excited to hear your answer. What should my networking goals be? Can I put a number to it? Should I say I'm going to be at event X, whatever that is? What are my goals? What is the intention there?
Well, I think it's a self-reflective question that it varies for individuals. What is your individual goal based on your career, where you're at in your career, maybe where you're looking to be? But me as an individual, and I think I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I believe it's really important to again, cultivate relationships, and it can be both can be true at the same time. You're developing mm-hmm. your professional network, your professional skill set, you're building confidence, potentially doors open in the future. Sure. But at the same time, your professional self is becoming a better person for it. And I've realized just based on the last several years out and about in the community, mm-hmm. when I would often attend Young Professional Network events as well as others, many people are at the same event for a variety of reasons. And there's mm-hmm. there's also crossover. Yes, some people might be looking to build a business connection, mm-hmm. and other people may be from the area. Other people may not be from the area and they're just looking to get out.
Sure.
Other like-minded folks, build some camaraderie, mm-hmm. some friendship. And I think when you go in on that sort of angle mm-hmm. and have expectation, but also let it happen sure. organically, that's when things start to materialize. Mm-hmm. And also it might not happen tomorrow. I went to an event last night. And, yeah. and today I'm hoping to,
sure.
you know, have a relationship that's going to take me from A to B. It really does sort of create your professional network, personal network. Mm-hmm. And, last thing I would say is we all know as the older we get, we grow further into adulthood away from college. Mm-hmm. It's more difficult to meet mm-hmm. friends. Create friendships. Mm-hmm. So when you go into these events, though I have several friendships as an adulthood in the last, say, mm-hmm. 7, 8, 9 years by going to these events just based on meeting people, new people.
It's funny you say that. You know, I was listening to your answer, thinking about individualizing the goals and there. And a situation popped in my head right away. I was working with a young professional who was, to use the college term, we call them gunners, right? The kid who sits right in the front row and has their hand up the entire mm-hmm. time. And this young professional, super talented, and was that gunner, like came in and said, you know, I'm going to this networking event. How many cards should I collect? You know, they really wanted to have that number. And it was so funny because as you said that, I was thinking about the conversation I had with them. And I kind of says, wait a minute, time out. You're going to this event. It was someone who was working with me. It is a recruitment event and it's working with. I'm not worried about how many cards you collect. I'm worried about impact. Mm-hmm. And we kind of sat back and we talked about it. And I said, okay, your goal is to make one really good relationship. Find one person that you really connect with and you can then call on later for help or for anything. And what it did is back to that, you know, be curious. Mm-hmm. It put the pressure on them then not to go up and say, hi, my name is so-and-so. Here's my business card. I'm really great. Made the pressure of them to go around and try to find the best fit. And it almost became not speed dating, but it kind of became that, okay, let's have a real conversation right. and we got to build some depth in it. So I really agree with you. I like, you know, for other people, it may be, hey, you got to come back from this networking event and we need 5 leads. You know, and that's the task at hand. And mm-hmm. so let's find a way, and they've got to find another way to do it too. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, one point to that is I've served on a few nonprofit boards over the years mm-hmm. and there's been some examples, and I know there's other stories like this, but there's been some situations where I've met some other professionals in the community, struck up a mm-hmm. conversation, and there's been a relationship that had developed over time. And when I've been serving on a board, fundraising might become topic of conversation, mm-hmm. sponsorships. We start thinking about what businesses yep. or stakeholders have been involved in the past mm-hmm. and which new ones we might be able to approach. And there's been a time or two where X business will be suggested and mm-hmm. either a director or board chair will say, we've never had any relationship with them. We've never been able to connect with them, or it's been quite some time and sure. It would be a good opportunity to revisit. maybe yourself, myself, or someone else around that board says, you know, I know someone that works in that organization, and I would be willing to reach out and share some information about what we're doing and the mission and the work. And when you've created a relationship, even if it's not someone you've hang out with and you see regularly, but you've been authentic in that, and you shoot them an email or you give them a call and you say, hey, I want to let you know I'm on such and such board. We're looking for some new sponsors. I don't believe your organization or business has been involved in the past. Do you know the right person that I might be able to share some information with up the chain? Say, sure, send it on over. And then you also might have someone lobbying in your corner to say, hey, so-and-so Steve's on the board. If we can, we should maybe support this. And so it's a lot easier when you have a relationship rather than send it into the blue.
Right.
So those are examples that
they
pay dividends down the road. In a sincere way.
And it goes back to that authenticity.
Yep. Too.
I think that's all right. So we're getting close to the end. Famous last question. We always make folks answer this. I want you to picture an SVSU alum out there in the business world. They're trying to break through for either their business or the business they're working for. What is your one big piece of advice that you would give to that person that relates directly to networking and kind of the etiquette and how to do it?
Well, it would recap is the variety of things we've talked about, and to encapsulate that into one point would be, if you're when you go into these settings, if you're able to just be yourself, be genuine, strike up a conversation, introduce yourself, and think to ourselves, at this point in time, I don't necessarily need a dividend to pay today or tomorrow. Those long-term goals of just meeting people and intermingling throughout the community, it will not only advance your professional career, but your personal life. You gain some friendships in the process. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at it from that angle, it will take us a lot further. And it's more of an enjoyment to your career as well as your time in family life and in the community. So
perfect. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time, Steve. Thanks for coming in and talking about all things networking. I'm going to follow up with an email. I'm going to make sure. No, I've always appreciated our professional and personal relationship. It's been nice to get to know you and your family and in the community. And I think when we're talking about topics, you were a great person to bring in for this, because you were one of the first that I thought of, like, okay, who do I know that knows how to do this well? So appreciate your time very much. Thanks, for those of you that are out there, thanks for spending time with us. This is the Cardinals Standout in Your Career podcast, presented by Alumni Relations. We got a lot of great things coming up for our alumni, so be sure to check us out at svsu.edu/alumni for all our upcoming events. Remember, we love it when our Cardinals stand out in their community. So continue to let us know what you're doing. And as always, it's a great day to be a Cardinal. Thank you.